Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Time for the Responsible Investor on Classic Business, and to talk about localization. In November of 2021, the Centre for Development and Enterprise published a report on South Africa's localization policy entitled The Siren Song of Localization and Why the Policy Won't Lead to Industrialization. It was based on conversations with two of South Africa's leading economists, Professor Lawrence Edwards and Professor Emeritus David Kaplan, both from the University of Cape Town. And in the report, the CDE detailed some of the costs that localization imposes. The President, Cyril Ramaphosa, responded to the report in Parliament. He acknowledged the CDE's contribution, but he rejected the conclusions. He argued that localization is pivotal and suggested that the evidence is that localization is on the right path. Well, I suppose it's questionable given what we see in certain sectors. Since the publication of that report by the CDE, there have been some important changes to localization policy, and the issue has been again addressed by the CDE in a paper entitled The Seven Sins of Localization. So obviously, in the interests of again adding its voice to the public discourse, I'm joined now by the CDE's Executive Director, Anne Bernstein. Anne, great as always to chat to you, and at least we know the President reads these reports. What have those changes to our localization policy entailed?
Well, thanks, Michael. I don't know. There haven't been many changes to localization as far as we know. There's been the ongoing battle over chicken, as you know, where the Minister of Trade, Industry and Competition first resisted lifting tariffs, and then he did lift tariffs because consumer prices were going up, and now he's reimposed them again. So that's the only change I know. We have buttoned down or sort of hardened down on localization policy, which really, I think there are two important points to make at the beginning. The first is that this is not some sort of policy on the side of the economy. This is the basis of our industrialization strategy. It's one of the key pillars. The second thing is that many people think, what's wrong with growing the local economy? What's wrong with these people opposing this? Well, of course, we want the local economy to grow. We want more opportunities for all entrepreneurs and new black entrepreneurs, especially. But this policy says you must buy local. If you're a government department or agency or SOE, you must buy local, even if the price is more expensive or it's not the quality of good or the size of good you want. So that's a very specific interpretation that's important for listeners to bear in mind.
When I say change in policy, I mean, if we look back at the to the chicken story, the minister, Ibrahim Patel, seemed to admit that imposed localization drives up costs for consumers, at least in that case. And then, in the same month, there was even more change when it was announced again by Minister Patel under the terms of the Renewable Energy Independent Power Producer Program, the REAP program, where the state procures renewable energy from private sector bidders, that certain components must be manufactured domestically. And that has now been reduced to 35%. So again, it does seem like, there's policy on the one hand, but then in practice, there is backpedaling in the implementation by government.
You're right. Since we issued our first report in late 2021, I think it's been striking how many private sector or SOE spokespeople, the chairman of Transnet and many others, have said, you're pushing up the price of alternative energy. So DNA Economics, for example, has found that localization requirements can push up the price of component parts anywhere from 10 to 40% and even higher. The Transnet was told they had to buy locomotives in South Africa. The problem was that we don't manufacture locomotives and it takes a long time to get an exemption. So exemptions are done one by one by one, and it can take months and months. So prices go up, delays take place. So the big question, I think, is on the one hand, you've raised, Are we interested in prices for consumers, or are we interested in protecting the industries that produce for consumers? But there's a bigger question, Michael, which is, how does this economy grow? Now, I think everybody agrees that this is quite a small economy globally, and in order to grow, we have to export more. And what the experts are saying is that localization is a big barrier to this in a number of ways. Firstly, many exporters import intermediate goods in order to make their finished product to export it. So if you make the imported goods more expensive, you'll make our exports more expensive. So that's a real problem. The second thing is that generally, if you look at the master plans and many other areas where localization is being encouraged or more, these are big companies. And we're not the most competitive economy to begin with. We're quite concentrated in certain sectors. So we're saying that, and the experts are saying, that generally it's bigger companies that benefit from localization. It's not the small newcomer. It's not the struggling new firm. So we're making our economy more concentrated, not less, more expensive, not less. And in fact, the real issue is, how do we reduce the costs of doing business in South Africa so that if you want to buy something, you would naturally buy the local good because it will be cheaper and it's good quality. That should be our aim, not to protect firms in order to somehow make this economy work better and create more jobs. That's not what's going to happen.
Yeah, sadly, that is certainly at the heart of these sector master plans, a sense that one can engineer these jobs into existence via offering protection to certain firms, certainly firms who want to sign reciprocal agreements, which, as we know, and has been pointed out by the likes of Donald Mackay of XA Trade Advisors and others, are shrouded in secrecy. I was chatting to Mike Benfield, the CEO of Max Steel, about these. He said he just couldn't sign a reciprocal agreement that was placed in front of him by the minister, which had all kinds of terms that he just couldn't agree to around, you know, keeping prices at a certain level over 3 years in a dynamic market where the input prices may change. He just couldn't admit to or commit to that. When it comes to the evidence-based policymaking, I think one thing we must be asking for when it comes to policymaking is transparency and evidence-based decision-making. Are we seeing much of that in the implementation of our localization policy, given what the president said, that it seems to be we're on the right track? What evidence is that statement based on?
Well, we don't see any evidence for that. Since the president made that statement, we have not seen evidence that this is driving the economy higher or faster, certainly struggling with economic growth. And there are lots of experts pointing out areas in which this is driving costs higher. So if you drive costs higher, then firms can have to cut costs somewhere else, and they either pass it on to consumers or they cut their employees. So either way, we're not seeing the so-called benefits of this policy. And to our knowledge, there hasn't been, you know, a real data-rich analysis of this by independent experts. I think the key point that a number of people have made is that there are many problems in our economy, and we should deal directly with them. We're hoping that somehow localization, protecting local firms, and you only need to do that if they're not efficient or cheap enough, we protect them, and we hope that somehow one day, because we protected them, they will become more competitive and can expand. But that doesn't seem to make sense to us, and it's certainly not what's happening. And what happens is you protect local firms, you become more insular, you get divorced from global innovation, and protected firms get lazy, like all of us. You think, well, I'm doing okay, I'll just eat up more of the market share, and I don't have to become a much more efficient, dynamic firm. So this is a bad path on which to take the economy. And we've yet to see the sort of benefits of this.
I've been scratching around myself. I can't see any benefits, and we just see our GDP per capita as one measure has gone nowhere over the last decade. In fact, amongst the major economies and middle-income economies, we are an outlier in that regard globally. And as Professor Kaplan asked rhetorically in your study and with your paper, if you've got a guaranteed market, why would you innovate? To your point, you know, firms become lazy in an environment where they are protected to this extent without focusing on competitiveness, which clearly should be a focus for South Africa's economy to compete globally. We need to focus on competitiveness. I suppose those who might argue for localization might say, but hang on, Anne, look at supply chains, look what happened through COVID, you know, and the risk that that introduces. Shouldn't we be de-risking our supply chains by looking to nearshore or friendshore, onshore, whatever the buzzwordy term is at the moment? How do you respond to that argument in favor of localization?
Look, there was certainly that argument at the time of COVID, and that's really when localization started becoming more of a public issue. We certainly would be amenable to considering a particular sector if that's, you know, if there was an evidence-based argument that we really, really need to have South African production of protective equipment or things like that. You can make that argument, perhaps, but it needs to be, as you're saying, it needs to be evidence-based. It needs to show that making this in a more efficient economy and ensuring that there is supply is a worse option than protecting certain parts of our economy. So we're saying, I could imagine a situation, and Professor Kaplan has pointed this out, you know, where we say we really need to be competitive, globally competitive, in, say, a particular new area of technology and firms. And you could say, we're going to help those firms to get going and then into the export market where they must stand on their own within 3 to 5 years.
Mm.
But that you can do for a small part of the economy. What we've done is somehow from a discussion on protective equipment and how we need to shorten value chains, we're now saying this is a key pillar throughout the society. And that somehow if we all buy local, this is going to help expand the South African economy. So it's the general that we're really opposing. I could imagine, you know, one or two sectors with serious evidence, you could perhaps make the case for that. Mm. But across the entire economy is a different thing. And we all know that you've got to export. So how will you become more adept at finding niche markets in the global economy if you're protected in your domestic economy? It doesn't make any sense. And so we're pushing the economy rather than expanding the economy because we're producing goods for the world or for Africa and finding our niches there and being competitive. We're pushing the economy onto a much more sort of protected route where often, not always, often large companies become lazy and uncompetitive and don't innovate because they don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a sort of, this seems to us to be the wrong way to go. And, you know, a lot of this friendshoring and all this discussion, I think there's a lot more hype than reality. And that's for very, very big economies, you know, and the evidence is not in on all of that. It's not clear yet exactly what's going on or what the benefits are.
So given all of this, Anne, surely business should be more vocal. And I know the centre does incredible work in assembling the brightest trade minds and economists into contributing to the public square with these reports. And they are very valuable inputs. But currently we've got business through B4SA in partnership with government. There was an update today about this this three-stream partnership looking at energy, looking at the logistics sector, and then crime and corruption. Business wants to be involved, wants to help, wants to be trusted, and wants to be able to do what business does, and that is grow. And with that will come the jobs. But surely it's time for business leaders to stand up and actually individually now, not necessarily through organizations, but individually say, these policies are going to lock us into the wrong path and really bring this back into the public square, because we do seem to have a minister who is very hardworking, very bright, is Ibrahim Patel, but is behind much of these policies, which are disastrous for economic growth.
Well, you're asking a very big question. In some respects, organized business has gone along with aspects of localization. And I think that's unfortunate. And we pointed this out in 2020 when they were supporting master plans and their very intensive recovery strategy for the country. We weren't happy with their support for those people who were demanding protection. We think it's the wrong way to go. So there's the agreements at NEDLAC about this, and we would be opposed to that. Now, what happens, and I've experienced this, is you get a number of large companies who say, well, I agree with everything you're saying, Anne, for the economy, but let me talk about my company and why we need protection. And part of this is a reflection of a failing economy and the situation of, I don't know what to call it anymore, polycrisis that we find ourselves in. And instead of boldly saying, we're going to make this, we're going to make the trains work, the ports work, electricity work, all these basics, the roads, and we're going to deal with crime. Instead of fixing all of these things, we're kind of saying, well, let's just localize and protect ourselves. But this is incredibly short-sighted. So I personally think that organized business should be speaking out more clearly against localization as a strategy for expanding the South African economy, and they should be more consistent on this. But, this is across the board of organized business. I think it's problematic.
It is indeed. And a debate about localization is a debate about the future of our economy, as Professor Kaplan put it at the end of the discussion that you hosted recently. The question is, do we want our future to be inward looking, or do we want to be integrated with the global economy, learning from others, increasing our export footprint, growing the economy, and providing the jobs and inclusion we so desperately require? Anne Bernstein, thank you very much for your contribution and continued contributions into the public square in this very important topic for the South African economy. Take care.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks for the opportunity.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.